Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. See the title there, Have Faith in God. Before we get to that verse, though, we want to start in verse number 12 and get the understanding of why Jesus said this to begin with. Many a time, when you read the New Testament, when Jesus is dealing with his disciples, he encourages them to have faith. And you find many times they lacked the faith, and they were fearful instead. And I think everybody, every person knows a little something about fear, don't you? And God the Son, had to remind the disciples and his apostles, specifically his closest followers, over and over again to trust God, to have faith in God. You say, didn't they get it? Let me ask you, do you always get it? I don't. So he had to continually remind them to trust him, to stop fearing and have faith. And I know as I walk with Jesus day by day, not exactly like the disciples as they had him there physically, I know I need to be reminded of him every day to have faith in God. And so you say, well, I do have faith in God, and that's great. But I believe you need to be reminded today, just like I need to be reminded today, to have faith in God. And in Mark chapter 11, verse number 12, it says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. That's Jesus, if you read the preceding verses. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon, looking for some fruit. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Verse 14 says, and Jesus answered and said unto it, that's unto the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. It may seem like a strange thing Jesus is doing. There's a lesson in it, we'll see. But listen to the I underline this last sentence in this verse. And his disciples heard it. That just struck me, and I'm still pondering that. But there's a reason they heard it, is so he could explain it to them later. And sometimes Jesus did things not for his own sake, but for the sake of those around him. We read sometimes of him praying to God the Father and saying, I pray this not for my sake or your sake, but for the sake of those that are following me. And it says in verse number 19, we're going to skip a section because it shifts gears to a different situation that happens in the temple. But in verse number 19, and when even was come, that's the evening, he went out of the city. So they went out of the city, presumably back to Bethany, and no doubt past the tree, but at this point it was dark, so imagine they didn't see it. But look at verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That happened pretty quickly. And Peter, calling to remembrance, how could he remember? Because it tells us, and his disciples heard it. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, or look at this, as if he didn't know what was going on. Behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Verse 22 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. I put that bold in my Bible, and perhaps you want to mark that. It's just a simple, just four words, but I think it's powerful. Have faith in God, which is the title of the message. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He's indicating faith. I can't say that I fully understand what that verse means. I'm still chewing on that. But I know this. He requires of us as Christians to live by faith. He expects that we will go through whatever we're going through by faith. He demands that we trust him if he's going to lead us. And he makes a statement to them through this illustration and the questioning that they gave him. He says, have faith in God. And it's something easy perhaps to hear, but hard to practice depending on your situation. But I want to encourage us this morning to do just that and to explain perhaps a little bit about how we should have faith in God this morning. Before we press on, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us this morning. God, I have nothing to bring but my observations and my study and my outline. But God, I need more than that this morning. I need your strength. I need your power. Lord, I need you to take your word, as only you can, and convict and admonish and instruct and guide and help, as only you can, with your precious word. Lord, we trust your word. We stand upon it. We want to live it. I believe each one here does too. So help us this morning. Work through me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is an instant when the Lord, Jesus Christ, teaches his followers, his disciples, an important lesson on faith. It involves an example and an exhortation. He both showed them, and then he taught them. And we see that often with Jesus. Something happens, and it's an opportunity to instruct them. Whether it's with this fig tree, or whether it's a ship tossed in the middle of the sea, whether it's him coming and walking out on the water, or whatever it may be, he always brought in some instruction to help them live for God's glory and live in a way that honors Christ to his disciples. And they were in training, and just like we are. It was a lesson on faith this time. I don't know about you this morning, but I want great faith in God. I want to not only believe everything God says, but I want to live out that belief in my life every day. And do you understand that faith isn't just saying you believe? Faith is your life showing that you believe. We live according to our belief. Each one of us this morning lives their life in a particular way according to something they believe. And so I want my life to be lived in a way that's consistent with my belief and my faith in the Word of God and in Christ. I don't believe I'm where I want to be with my faith, and I don't think I'll probably ever be where I want to be with my faith. I think the longer you're saved and follow God, the more you realize how little faith you really have. But my desire is this, that my faith, and I hope this is your desire, that my faith continually grows in me as I trust God day by day and apply his word. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus plainly states to his disciples in verse 22, after they question him about something they heard happen, and he gives them the simple statement. Now he continues with other things, but the initial statement he gives them is, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now generally that may be the last thing I want to hear when I'm questioning something or when I'm maybe not handling a situation the best. Last thing I really want to hear another Christian say is, hey, just have faith in God. But that's really what we need to hear, because that's the answer. Have faith in God. The disciples said, Jesus, hey, look at this. Didn't you just curse this the other night? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. From this New Testament story and other Bible passages, we want to look at how we are encouraged to have faith in God. And three things this morning. And the first thing we want to notice is this. We need to have faith in God's Son. Look at verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, Jesus speaking to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. It has been said that a biblical definition of faith is looking unto Jesus. As the disciples were scratching their heads about the fig tree, recalling what they had seen and what they heard Jesus say, their faith in Christ was growing, as his identity was being more and more revealed. And we see that throughout the Bible. Who do men say that I am? And, of course, they ultimately reveal in Peter, that, you know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And their faith in Christ grew as things were revealed. And as they look unto Jesus here, and as they obviously are watching and listening to him closely because of what he has done and because who he is and what he has done for them and how he's seen him change their lives, their faith is growing as they're seeking these answers from him. And that's the first thing to understand, is that true faith starts with believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so we need to have faith in God's Son, first of all, for salvation. In John 1, 12 and 13, it says, "But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It starts with believing and receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. So really, and I know many of you are Christians, and perhaps all, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You understand this because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And that's when faith in him and with him begins to grow. And hopefully your faith in Christ has continued to grow. And when you talk to someone about salvation, it's not just faith in religion. It's not just faith in believing something. It's not faith in faith. It's faith in God's Son specifically. And it's important when you present the gospel to others that we're specific about it. It's not just you believe something great. No, many people believe, the devils believe, and they're going to hell. You see, we need to believe in specifically Jesus Christ for salvation. And so we need to have faith in God's Son. The disciples put their faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I hope everyone here has done that as well. And you're confident in that. It's not just faith in, well, I believe something, so that's good enough. Or I believe in the church, or I believe in religion, or I believe in, no, you believe in Jesus. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He was the atonement made for us that we couldn't make ourselves. And he died and was buried and rose again for our salvation. Have faith in God's Son for salvation. Then, of course, we continue to look unto Jesus and trust our Savior every day. Not for salvation, because once you're saved, you're secure in Christ, and you have that assurance. But we continue to look to Jesus to live every day with faith. And so, well, I'm saved, I've trusted Christ, now I can continue on trusting my way, or trusting the world's way, or trusting the way things have been going. Now we continue to put our faith in Jesus every day to lead us and to guide us. So we need to have faith in God's Son for salvation, but we also have faith in God's Son for stability. If you think about it, we trust Christ and we know we're going to heaven. We're saved eternally. We have a home in heaven, but it doesn't end there. We still live this life. God just doesn't take us to heaven and then, well, I guess we're all set. No, now we have to be stable in Christ and living for him and glorifying God and going through this life in a way that's by faith. And so we have faith in God's Son for stability in this life. Let me read you what Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says about that. "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." Right? When you run with patience, you're not just running real quick for 5 seconds as fast as you can, and then huffing and puffing for a little while and sit down and take a break and running again real quick and sprinting. No, it's a marathon. You take your time. You pace yourself. You make sure you're going at a level you can sustain. And in the Christian life, we need that stability and consistency and faithfulness that we can only find through looking unto Jesus and casting aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We need that faith in God's Son. You think about the disciples when they followed Jesus. Many of them left all to follow him. He doesn't necessarily require that of everybody to leave everything and just pack up and just go become an itinerant preacher or whatever, but he does require us to be willing to give all. He does require us to have a heart of yielding and surrender to him. And so we got to cast aside the weights Those things that aren't sin in and of themselves, but those things that are holding us back from fulfilling God's will for us. And of course, the sin that is directly hindering us from following God. We cast that aside, and then it says this, we run with patience the race that is set before us. And how do we do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to have faith in God's Son for stability. Then it says this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. What did Jesus do when all that was coming against him? When the opposition and persecution, he stayed consistent and faithful to the task. And it says if you're gonna be stable in the Christian life, you've got to look unto Jesus. If you're going to continue trusting him, then you have to consider him. And I imagine the disciples, as they certainly had him with them presently in the flesh, they were able to perhaps more easily do that. But even when he left and he ascended up into heaven, he said, I'll send my comforter to be with you. The Holy Spirit will come and indwell you, and wait for the promise of the Father. And they did, and they were able to press forward with consistency and faithfulness and faith and trusting God no matter what opposed them or who persecuted them. And they were able to press forward with stability. You say, how could they do that? Because they were still looking unto Jesus. Maybe not physically, but they were spiritually. And so Jesus says to them, have faith in God. Starts with having faith in God's Son. For salvation, most certainly, that's where it begins. But also for stability in the Christian life. I don't know about you, but when I get my eyes off Jesus, I begin to become unstable. Not like I go crazy and mad, but I begin to, in my faith, it's not as solid. Perhaps doubts begin to creep in and fears begin to plague me. When my eyes are off of Jesus and they're on me or they're on my situation or they're on someone else. And we've got to be careful that even as Christians, we have faith in God's Son, not just for salvation, but for stability in our life. Oswald Chambers said, faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. And you may not know where faith is leading you as you obey God's word and as you obey his leading in your life, but you can know the one who loves you and who is leading you. Faith in God's Son. Jesus said, have faith in God's Son. Secondly, we need to have faith in God's sovereignty. Look at verse number 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And so, of course, Jesus says, have faith in God. So have faith in God's sovereignty. What do I mean by that? In other words, when Jesus is your Savior and God is your Heavenly Father, who is in control and has the power and authority to guide you away, you can trust him. When we know he's sovereign, he has all control and power and authority. Yeah, I understand he doesn't always wield that power and authority the way we want to, but we're not the ones that are sovereign. He is. We're not the ones in control or that have authority or the power. It's through him. It's him that has that. And we can have faith in his sovereignty and his control and his power and authority. You say, what do we need to do? We just need to trust him. I know that's simplistic this morning, have faith in God. And I know it's easier to say than to do, and I know it's more complex than just following some words. It's meaning it and applying it when the rubber meets the road. As Jesus discussed the fig tree with his disciples, he was leading them to trust in God's ability and control. When you think about it, they said, hey, it's dried up from the roots. Did you see this? You just cursed it the other day. Look what happened. And Jesus said, have faith in God. What was he doing? He's saying, listen, God's in control. You don't think God can do that? God is all power. Have faith in God. Don't you know the God that you serve? Don't you know my Father? Don't you know what he's like? God can do this because we know Jesus is God the Son. But have faith in God. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, said, many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little and they always fail. All giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence to be with them. You get that? I love that quote. Often we estimate difficulty in the light of our own resources. Hey, if I look at difficulty in my life in light of what I have to contribute to it, I will fail. I will try and fail again and again. I will get discouraged and distraught, and I will think there's no hope. So would you. If you look at it in your own resources, we attempt, and therefore, because sometimes we don't even attempt it, because we say, I could never do that. You're right, you can't. That's why we don't look at difficulties the Lord allows for whatever reason with our own resources. We look at it through the eyes of faith, trusting God. All giants have been weak men who do great things for God because they reckon on his power and presence to be with them. And it can be men, women, children who may be weak in some areas, but who trust God and reckon on his power and presence to be with them. Have faith in God's sovereignty. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He doth whatsoever he please. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We need to have faith in God's sovereignty for our steps. For our steps. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Oh, listen, be a person this morning that wants the Lord to direct your steps. So how do I do that? Well, you pray, you seek his word, you make sure you're walking consistently with what he says, you follow the prodding and leading of your heart in accordance with the word of God, you do what he says in the Bible, and you get wise counsel, and you make sure you're walking the proper way, and you allow him to guide you every step of the way. Have faith in God's sovereignty for our steps, but the Lord directeth our steps. We can devise our own way, which is by sight, living by sight, what we can see, or we can yield to God's leading of our way, which is faith, trusting what he knows. I'd rather let my steps be led by someone who knows the way than trying to lead my own steps into a way that I know nothing about. And none of us do. We take one step in front of another, just like anybody else. But the only one who knows what's on the other side of those steps is the Lord. And so what do you do about that? You yield every step to him, day by day, step by step, trusting him. We need to have faith in God's sovereignty for your steps and faith in God's sovereignty for your situations. You say, does God know what's going on? Yes. Is God aware? Yes. Is he hiding himself? No. He sees. His eyes are open. He's beholding all that's being done in your life. And we need to trust that he's in control. He has authority. He has power. At any moment in his timing, his way, he can adjust things. He can bring things into your life. He can take things out of your life just as quickly. Because he's sovereign. We don't always understand his plan. We can always trust him in his heart. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. So how can you say that? Because you trust in God's sovereignty. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And as we yield our purposes to him, and as we love him the best we can, and as we seek for him to lead our steps and guide our steps, we can trust him in our situation. Have faith. Have faith in what? Have faith in God. Have faith in God's Son. Have faith in God's sovereignty. Lastly, have faith in God's supply. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Then it goes on to say, when you pray, when you stand praying, forgive. And so they give some qualifications to that. If you read the Bible, you understand when you pray, we ought to pray forgiving others. We ought to pray confessed of sin. We ought to pray according to God's will. We ought to pray in Jesus' name. The idea here is this, is when we pray, we need to pray and believe in our God and what He can do. We ought to pray with a heart of faith, trusting Him in every situation. We need to have faith in the fact that God can supply. Jesus continues in this section to expound on faith and the impact it can have in one's life. God can supply all our needs and do great things through us and with us if we will trust Him. Just like He pointed out to them, I did this, but God can do it. God can make this fig tree wither in a day. You could even, you know, I could give you the power to say to a mountain, move, and it could move. In essence, He's saying this, I can supply you with everything you need to do what my will is for you. That's something the disciples certainly need to hear as they're walking with Jesus, and as soon as they'll see Him crucified on a cross and put in a tomb. That's something they need to understand and know, that they need to trust Him, that they need to lean upon Him for all their needs, for their power, for their strength. And I believe you got the point across to them. It's a letting go of our will and our way and giving it over to Him. Hudson Taylor again said this, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. And I believe that to be true. When you do God's work in God's way, you'll never lack God's supplies. And that's the truth, and I've seen that, and no doubt you have too. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Think about that. He gave up His only Son for us. What else would He hold back from us? Would He not give us freely all things that we need to accomplish His will and purpose in this life? I think He would. He says He will. We need to have faith in God's supply by seeking. Seeking. Matthew 6:33 says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first. What do you seek first? The Lord's kingdom and His righteousness. You put Him first. You seek Him above all else. He's the priority in your life. How do you have God's supply? Well, you have faith in God's supply by seeking Him. By seeking Him and His kingdom first. In Matthew 7:7, it says, Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You seek the Lord. You seek His kingdom. You seek His righteousness. When I think of seeking, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that means obviously you're saved and you're seeking to benefit God's kingdom above our kingdom. You're seeking to benefit and to promote what God should be doing in this world through us. You're promoting God's mission. You're promoting God's will. You're putting forth God's purpose for your life. You're seeking that first and His righteousness. And then all these things should be out of you. So you seek the Lord and His righteousness first. Then you seek those things you need from the Lord. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Have faith in God's supply as you seek. Have faith in God's supply by serving. In other words, by serving the Lord and living for Him. In Philippians 4:19-20 it says, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And listen to the last part of the verse. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And as Paul writes this to the Philippian church, I see him saying, Listen, church, God's going to supply your need, not according to your riches, according to His riches. In glory by Christ Jesus. And then he gives glory to God because he knows it's all about the Lord and living for Him. And as we put Him first, He will provide what we need as we serve Him and as we seek it from Him. We need to have faith in God's supply. And I could see Jesus instructing the disciples. And other times in the Bible, He sends them out And he says, just take what's necessary and go. And he provides them the way of how to make sure they're taken care of and they're sharing the gospel. And when he's ready to depart, he tells them, listen, I'll supply what you need. The comforter will come. He'll speak of me. He'll give you what you need. He'll provide. He'll lead. He'll direct you toward myself. He'll give you power to witness. And he sets them up with everything they need in order to carry out his will for them. And friends, I don't believe it's any different today for us in 2018. He has set you up in Christ Jesus with everything you need to carry out his will for you in this life. Do you believe that this morning? You say, well, what do I do? And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God's Son. Have faith in God's sovereignty. Have faith in God's supply. The Bible tells us, and you know it in a couple places, the just shall live by faith. Jesus instructs his bewildered disciples that they must have faith in God. For he is trustworthy. He is powerful. He is sovereign. He is loving. He is wise. He is desirous of using us to do great things. Question is this morning, do you have faith in God's Son, God's sovereignty, and in God's supply? If not, what does God say to you? Four simple words. Have faith in God. Stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would, please.